Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampello and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Mandy. Are you there?
I'm here.
I didn't think you'd get done with your work in time.
Oh, I was hurrying up and doing the hustle to close windows to find the switchboard again.
Well, today is May 7th, 2008. Welcome to Raven Radio. Yes. With us today is author Judith Rochelle, a.k.a. Desiree Holt. She is an author with Lotus Circle, Wild Rose Press, and Allura's Cave. And she was also the first female sports reporter at the Michigan Daily. And the first woman to own a rock and roll agency in Detroit, the home of Motown. So
that right there just put her in ultra cool in my book.
Yeah, we can talk about music with her. So if you have questions for Desiree, feel free to call in or go to our chat room and type in your questions there, and we'll be happy to ask her online. You can ask her about either the rock and roll or the books. The listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges do apply. Or for more information on using your computer to chat live during the broadcast, visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts to Raven Radio. Or if you have questions that you'd like us to answer on next week's show, email us at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
Yes.
Marathon.
In through the nose, out through the mouth. Just breathe for a moment. It's all done now.
Michelle just passed out on the floor.
Okay, yes, everybody, we've got Judith on. We're really excited about that. We wanted to also give a shout-out, which we're going to start doing now on a weekly basis, to the sponsors of Raven Radio for us. I know that Blog Talk themselves have sponsors that you hear come on before you listen to the show, but we have additional ones, and we'd just like to say thank you to them. So I don't know, Michelle, did you want to?
Yeah, one of our sponsors is Beth Williamson. We'd like to give a shout-out to Beth and her new book, The Legacy. Mm-hmm. You can see her at BethWilliamson.com, and I know she's been on the show before, so we've talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also like to give a shout-out to Christina D'Abu with her new book, The Bond That Heals Us, and I believe she's been on the show as well.
Yep.
And you can pick up her books at Allura's Cave, AlluraCave.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this week we have Rihanna Samuels with she has books over at Samhain Publishing.
Yes, and she'll be joining us to help launch off our night shows coming the end of the month here. She's going to help us kick that off. So
and yeah, she has a book out with Samhain Publishing, Shaking Off the Dust, and I just love the cover.
Isn't that cover gorgeous?
Yeah. Well, Samhain has wonderful covers.
Yeah,
they have
really
do. Great artists working there.
Yeah. But no, we wanted to say thank you to them, and each week we'll be, you know, just giving a shout out to our sponsors and to thank them for all that they do in that, because it's really, you know, it's great that they support the Raven, and we want to support them back. So
yeah, please, listeners, go check out their websites, you know, check out their books, see if there's anything that you like, and if you do, pick it up. Or just simply email the author and say, hey, I heard about you on Raven Radio. So they continue to sponsor us, and we can
Yeah, there you go,
do
yeah.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
Okay, now we've got to, you know, we've got to get to the nitty-gritty, the good stuff, the stuff they're all waiting for, the shoot-the-shit time. Michelle, anything fun happened this week, or exciting, or different, or...
Why do I have to go? Actually,
I said it first.
Actually, I sent in a bunch of submissions, so I'm feeling great about that. I just sent out about six new submissions. It, of course, will be several months before I hear anything, how it usually goes anyway. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I felt like I got a big thing accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And then personally... Well, we're finishing a house so we can get it on the market and sell it.
Yeah. Wait,
so
I said fun and exciting.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It is kind of fun after the fumes get to you after, you know, 20 hours.
And then you're laughing and carrying on.
Huffing paint and trying to paint a closet. Yeah. Closed spaces.
Now, kids, don't do this at home. Yeah.
No. Huffing is bad.
Huffing is bad. Yes.
Painting walls is bad.
Yeah. I had an interesting moment this morning. I took the little Roth Rugrats out to the bus, which actually they catch it in front of the house, so it's not that long of a walk. Thank God. When I finish this, you'll understand why. So I'm standing out there, and I'm like, it's a little chilly this morning. And I'm waiting for the bus, and I'm waiting for the bus, and it comes, and it goes, and I'm walking back in, and I realize that the butt end of my pajama bottoms is missing. Not a hole, missing.
Do you wear, like, those long johns with the button-down trap?
Oh, my gosh. It would have been explainable if that was the case. This was like a pair of, I think they were intended to be exercise pants at one point, and they're just that, like, cotton material, and it was just completely worn out. The ass was just gone. So not only did the bus driver, who is male, by the way, get that, every child on that bus saw my children's mommy, her underwear in her butt.
Yeah, well, at least you were wearing underwear.
Thank goodness for that one. So I'm going to apologize again to my children now and for the therapy they're going to need later.
Do you mind when I picture this, if they're like bright pink floral underwear or something? Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Unfortunately, I was not that cool. But I can say they weren't the Granny Whiteys, so thank goodness for that one. But that was my morning. So, yeah, and then I proceeded it with a lovely trip up the stairs. Yes, that's right, up the stairs. Yes, did the land on elbows, catch self, and did not drop a bit of laundry.
Fall down.
Yeah. I'm like a superwoman.
You fall up.
Yeah.
So really what you're telling me is you're supernatural, kind of like
yes.
a vampire bat.
Yes. I could be the assless wonder.
That sounds like a scary superhero. Here comes the assless wonder. Oh, no, really, we're fine. Don't mind the muggers, just carry on about your way, assless wonder.
Can you see it now? Readers are going to be offering to send me pants. Like, please don't do that to us, please.
Yes, we are having a pant drive for Mandy. Please send them into her P.O. box immediately. I will laugh my butt off if you get a bunch of crazy underwear.
Yeah.
It'd be even funnier if you got a bunch of granny panties.
Yeah, Jackie Frank, Jacqueline Frank is in the chat room, and she's laughing at us for this. I told her this morning on IM, I thought she'd get a kick out of that, because, my gosh, there we go. Full moon fever was up for me. That could be a paranormal topic. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, hi, Jackie. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, yes.
Great to have you here,
yes,
as always.
Jackie has graciously offered to, if we ever need a last-minute fill-in, to help out on the Raven and co-host. So thank you very much, and I don't know if this is penance for something she did in a past life.
I don't know that you want to do that, really.
Yes. Poor Jackie. Poor Jackie.
I don't know. What would be worse? This is a question for the listeners. What would be worse, being left alone with Mandy or being left alone with Michelle?
Oh, that could be this week's email in for a PDF.
Email in and let us know.
Oh,
okay. Which one of us is scarier?
I thought it was going to be
why.
Slick.
Okay,
I thought it was going to be
lost.
Slick and come get a water, right, while we're on air. So I was going to get a water because I forgot to get that ahead of time. So I opened up the refrigerator, pulled one out, and all 24 just fell out of the case onto the floor. I have
thirsty.
One, though, so there's only 23 there now.
Yeah. Your ghost thought you were thirsty.
Yes, so I'm having one of those days. Apparently, I shouldn't try to walk across the street. I will die. So.
No, just the neighbors that you moon. Now, you have a workshop going on with RWA chapter, don't you?
I do. J.C. Burton and I are co-teaching, I guess, a workshop on the fundamentals of world building. And it's in its first week. It runs for two. And we're down two lessons now. I think we're going to do the third one today. It has been a lot of fun. We've got some great questions in there. And we're right now talking about map building and, like, layouts and schematics and that, so to kind of help you keep your place in writing. It's been a lot of fun.
And I know that you guys said you had a pretty good turnout for it. So
yes, we did. We did. There's like
this is your first workshop, so that's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it's an online one. It's a lot of fun, and it's just, I don't know, it's different. It's my very first one, and I'm excited. So, oh, yeah, those darn cue things I hit are supposed to make the knocking on the door thing, yet here we lag. So it will come on when I actually introduce Judith, so sorry ahead of time. Lovely.
Jackie Frank is in the chat room offering to bear you children.
Oh, wonderful.
I thought I'd point that out.
Can she just take
she
the three I have?
She loves you.
So, Judith, is this you online?
This is me.
Hi, Judith. Welcome to Raven Radio.
Hi, y'all.
Your
how you doing?
Intro. It's not working. I'm sorry. Wait. There we go. Okay. Come on, we have to now. It's becoming tradition at Raven.
Yeah, that's the Michelle shut up signal.
Yeah. Really, it is, but we always play it off as knocking. So now, welcome. So anyone who doesn't know who you are, can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm really two people. I'm
okay.
Judith Rochelle. God, I can't even say my own name today. Oh, this has not been a good day. Judith Rochelle and Desiree Holt. And Judith writes contemporary romances and suspense and intrigue. And Desiree writes erotic romances, some of which are suspense and intrigue. And I have to tell you something really, really exciting that just happened to me.
What's that?
I had written a novella that was released for about 5.5 seconds before Triskelion bit the dust, called Beg Me. And it's being released again by Total Ebound. And I just got an email yesterday that Romance Reviews Today has picked it as the best nibble of 2007.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, what's its title?
It's called Beg Me.
Beg Me. Okay, and what's it about?
Okay, it's about this woman who wanted to create a mysterious persona for herself. She calls herself Sable. She had changed her name and everything. And she writes for Erotic Fantasy Magazine, and she's been introducing high-profile men, interviewing them for the magazine about their sex lives. And there's this one man, Alex Cortland, that won't give her an interview. She can't get time with him, so she corners him at a party, and he makes a deal with her. If she will come to his estate for the weekend and spend the weekend with him, no questions asked, he will give her the interview she wants. Only when she gets there, she ends up turning the tables on him. So it's got a couple of neat twists to it.
Fun.
That's
this
wonderful
is awesome.
News.
That's great news. Yeah,
and it has to feel great to have a have it at a publishing house and more than 5 seconds. That that was unfortunate.
Yeah, that was really sad. That Triskelion.
It was a very sad time for a lot of us. But you know, I've been really, really lucky because almost everything I had with them has been picked up by somebody else. I had a trilogy, The Adventures of Tracy and Pete. That Alora's Cave bought, and they're releasing as a single author anthology October 31st called Hot, Wicked, and Wild.
Ooh.
And my editor says, be sure and put plenty of ice cubes on your computer when you read it.
I went on a spree this weekend. I was reading quite a few Alora's Cave releases because there's a lot of new authors there that I just haven't read yet.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, when all was said and done, I think that my husband was a happy man. It's like, go ahead on another spree. It's fine. I'm good with that. Yeah.
Oh, mine is always a happy man unless I'm not writing something for Alora's Cave or Total Ebound. Then he feels neglected. But I do dedicate everything to him.
Oh,
because he
is
my hero. He is my hero.
Yeah, I dedicate a lot to mine, but yeah. I think you can always tell when you read my books when it was I was ticked at my husband, because there'll be like no dedication to him or a really sarcastic one.
let me write that down so I'll remember.
Yeah, so you can follow our relationship by just reading my books in order and seeing the dedication.
Oh, that's hysterical. That is really, really funny.
He's
my hero, and there's a piece of him in every one of my heroes. So, you know, it's kind of like I could never do this if it weren't for him, because I write, unless we're going out, I write 6 to 7 hours every day. And he is so good about it, you can't believe it. I mean, he is just the man of the hour.
Now, Michelle, what about you and dedications? How do you pick them? How do you do them?
You know what? I just try to make goofy dedications. I once told my husband to pick his socks up off the floor. to my brother, I said the X chromosome in a sea, or the Y chromosome in a sea of X's, and yeah, mine usually just tend to be silly and fun.
Yeah, you get a lot of mine too. Yeah.
And I did dedicate a book to Mandy that was to the girliest girl I know.
Yes.
All right.
Which she
wasn't
loved.
That the sweetest thing ever? The girliest girl she knows. Gee, not an ounce of sarcasm
for
in
me.
That one.
It's just kind of sad for me.
Oh my gosh.
You know about designer clothing.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So, Judith, what have you just had come out?
Okay, this month Last month I had a novella come out, Diamond Lady, from Alora's Cave, that's part of their Jewels series they're doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this month I have, God, why do I have such a blank in my head? This month I have two releases out. Teaching Molly came out on the 2nd, which is, actually I have more than two releases. I have Teaching Molly, which came out on the 2nd, which is an older woman, younger man with Alora's mm-hmm. Cave. On the 12th, I have a novella called Foreplay, which is part of an anthology that Total Ebound is releasing called Brick Party.
Okay.
On the 21st, Alora's Cave is releasing Emerald Green, another part of the Jewel series. Then I have Beg Me coming out, my big winner for 2007. And the Wild Rose Press is releasing Destination Pleasure in print. It's out in ebook, and it's 9 authors who wrote erotic adventures in exotic places, and mine's in Mexico. So mm-hmm. I'm all over the board this month.
Yeah. Now, I want to hear a little bit about Diamond Lady. Okay, the guy on the cover,
yes.
Yum.
Oh, Dominic.
Yeah.
Dominic is definitely a yum. And it's about Anna, who owns a bookstore and hides in the corner and reads her erotic love stories, erotic romances that she stalks. And she wants to break out of her shell, and she wants to meet a man who will give her adventures. Dominic happened to come into her bookstore one day and spot her and has been trying to figure out how to approach her. They're both at a pre-wedding party for her sister, and she meets him outside the ballroom where the party is, and it's at a yacht club. And he has a boat anchored there. And so it's how they meet. She spills her drink on him. He takes her down to the boat. And they have this absolutely wild, amazing, erotic night, which then turns into the beginning of a relationship. And it's her unfolding and the way he guides her and leads her through it. And you can feel what he feels for her. She's not just the woman of the night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out to be a really good book, and it's been doing really well. It hasn't been out that long, but I've gotten a lot of really good feedback on it, and I'll tell you a little secret that Dominic is actually based on somebody I used to know. So
really?
I had to put him in a book.
Yeah, now I have to, real quick, I have to interject to say, I am sorry. Two people, while Juice was talking, tried to call in. I attempted to click them over so that they could be on air accessible, but for some reason I'm getting a lot of lag, and I click and then it's like seconds and seconds and seconds go by, and they both hung up, probably assuming I was ignoring them. I wasn't. I'm really sorry. If you want to call back in, I apologize for that. It's just, it's par for the course here with this live stuff, so sorry about that. Again, I should probably give the number, 646-595-3998, if you're feeling lucky. Try to call. You can also come in if you go to ravenhappyhour.com and you just click on the links to Raven Radio. You will eventually land in the chat room where you can, you know, ask questions there. You can also email them, and I forget our email address every week. Michelle?
ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
See, without her, people.
I just need the autoplay button.
Yeah. And
really
I do actually have that set up, so it is checking as we go right now. So if you do email in, I should get that right away. So sorry about that. Okay, Judith.
We're speaking to Desiree
yes.
Holtz / Judith Rochelle, and mm-hmm. the books you've been talking about are Desiree Holtz books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know how you keep two names straight. I can barely keep my one together.
Well, you know, I can hardly remember myself, but I have a little trick. I have a business card for each one of me, and I keep them taped to my computer.
That's good. I like that.
And that way I know who I'm talking about. And also, Desiree has been a lot more prolific than Judith lately because she's been cranking out a whole lot. Right now I'm into Judith mode because I'm working on the 3rd book in my Phoenix Agency series for the Lotus Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm heavily into that, and I'm finishing another book for the Wild Rose Press. I had a book called A Redemption come out, which did really well, and I put a lot of real-life people into my books if it's appropriate, and this Redemption happened to be the main character happens to be based on a friend of my son's. We were talking about him one day, and I said, somebody should put him in a book. And Stephen said, yeah, somebody?
Yeah.
So I
if only we knew an author, Mom. Yeah.
Exactly. So I wrote the book, and it did really well, and I'm working on the sequel to that, too. But the weird thing is that Stephen, my son, was having breakfast with Bill, his friend, one morning not too long ago, and they were talking about the book. And Stephen said, well, now she's working on the sequel to it about Dino Brancusi, who has a charter in Key West and still does secret contract work for the government. And Bill says, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. He actually has a friend that does that, and I didn't even know that.
Oh, my gosh.
It is too weird.
Yeah.
So I'm in Judith mode right now, and next month I'll be back in Desiree mode.
Okay. Now, how do people feel when they find out that maybe you've based a character off of them, Leslie, or something? Do they all tend to take it well, or does anybody ever get like, oh, my gosh, you did what?
No, because I really don't do it about anybody that I think would be upset. And Bill knew that I was going to base my hero on him before I wrote the book. And Dominic, if he ever finds out, I hope he's flattered. I haven't seen him in 30 years, but I still remember him. but otherwise, usually if I'm going to put somebody in my book, I tell them about it, unless it's somebody I really, 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 really hate, which I did with the first book in the Phoenix Agency series. The woman who was the killer is based on somebody I know. And truthfully, if she gets upset, I'd be really happy.
Oh, I love it. I'll admit to possibly loosely maybe thinking about some people that rubbed me the wrong way and putting them in my books. It's unfortunate that they met their untimely deaths in them. I don't know. The way the cookie crumbled. Yeah.
I have a friend, another author, and we still talk off and on about writing a book one day that's all short stories called Killing Estelle. And in each short story, a person that we despise would be featured, and they would be killed off in some imaginative way, and the killers would get away with it. So maybe
you know,
one of
every
these days
Estelle we'll... you've ever met is like really worried right now.
Yeah.
A bunch of your Estelle, that lady at the grocery store who checked you out that one time, just cringed and.
Yes.
Ooh,
or the
I
one who got in my
title.
Way.
Yeah, I could do a rhyming one. Killing Michelle. Wait, I'm waiting for her to throw something at me now.
I can aim over several states.
Yes, she can, people.
I'm slapping you with my psychic powers.
And I'm feeling it on my, you know, buttless pants.
Wonderful, I miss.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we were talking about embarrassing moments before you called in. Do you have any, Judith, that you've had over the years that are just, you wish you could erase them?
Yes. I when I was at RT, I don't want to tell you who the editor was. I had a meeting with an editor from a publishing house in New York. The meeting ended up going really well, but I was so nervous about it. I can't tell you that I thought I was going to throw up on my shoes, and it was my turn, and I walked in, and I had to walk up two steps into the room where she was, and I had a briefcase with me and a folder on top of it, and I tripped, and everything fell on the floor, and I stepped on the folder that had all my papers in it, and I thought, she's going to throw me right out of here, but it worked okay. All I could think of is she's going to feel sorry for such a klutz.
You know what? She'll remember you.
Boy,
yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's
Mandy and I at RWA last year hadn't eaten for a while, and we were starving, so we ended up having that disgusting bar food. But we ordered these disgustingly large, like, tulip nacho thingies.
Yes.
They were obscene. They really were. They were huge.
I mean, they're, like, embarrassingly huge. And
but we didn't know that. In our defense, we didn't think they were that big.
Yeah, until we saw one come out before we got ours. But
yeah,
we had a New York editor walking by, and I know that we've talked about this on the show before, but it was just kind of funny because
right, Chris Kiesler from Dorchester.
Chris Kiesler from Dorchester, and we had never met him, and we started talking to him, and all we could think through this entire thing is these huge, pig out, embarrassing large plates are going to come.
Right, we each got one too, mind you. We didn't get one to split.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
you know, and then we had seen it after we ordered it, and we were like, ooh. Yeah, that was kind of our embarrassing moment because we're like, okay, it was really great to meet you. We're
you know,
going to
we did.
Take disgusting here in a second.
We kind of hurried him off, and we felt a little bad. I'm like, hi, it's nice to meet you. You should probably go now. Really, it's okay. You can go now.
I don't need to keep you. Because, you know, that's a situation where, like, at RWA and those conferences, you want to appear at least somewhat professional.
Right.
And, you know, and looking like you're about to be, you know, going a binge eating spree is not the way to do it.
But he'll remember you.
Hindsight, well, we should have said, we'll buy you a beer, pull up a plate, you know, but at the
right,
time it was just
nachos,
free.
Please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, have you, see, we were reading, you know, we've talked to you before, about how you did the first Detroit music agency, I believe.
Oh, yes. Oh,
now,
my
can
God.
Can you tell
I
us a little bit about
woman.
That?
Well, you know, it started, it's like Topsy's curls in Uncle Tom's Cabin. It just kind of grew. I was actually working in public television at the time, but I was a huge rock and folk music fan. Mm-hmm. And so when I wasn't working and I wasn't home taking care of my kids, I was hanging out in bars listening to music. And I became really friendly with this one singer who decided that he wasn't getting enough local publicity, and he asked me if I would help him. And so I worked with him for a long time. Actually, I even went to Nashville with him. He was a country western singer, and we almost got a contract for him with United Artists. But unfortunately for all of us, he was a recovering alcoholic who stopped recovering and got totally blasted the day we were supposed to sign the contract. So that was, but it was an interesting experience. And then somebody else called and said, if you're not working with him anymore, could you work with me? And then I had a cousin who called and said, listen, I have this rock band that's really good, and nobody's doing anything with them, and could you help them? And then one day I woke up, and I had like 20 clients, and I was living in bars and listening to rock music 12 hours a day.
Oh, you know what? Stop right there. I've got a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Mandy's
wow.
Very jealous of you right now.
Everyone, I want you to know I would quit my job in a heartbeat should I be offered that kind of position. I mean, writing was fun, but I'm going to be with the band. See ya.
Great. You're going to be trolling the bars, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. Now, you've got to tell us some, like, exciting moments from the road.
Well, let's see. You got to understand that rock musicians are kind of a law unto themselves.
Right.
And so no matter how tight a rein you keep on them, they're like little kids, you know? They're gonna sneak out the back window the first minute your back is turned. So I'm in Atlanta at Alex Cooley's Electric Ballroom, which I think is still there, with a band that's auditioning for Capricorn Records.
Oh.
And they're supposed to go on stage in a half an hour, and I cannot find the lead singer. The lead singer is about four blocks away, standing under a tree, trying to buy a bag of marijuana. Now, I'm trying to get him. Somebody snitched to me, so I got down there, and I'm trying to get him away from there and not get caught myself and get him to come back to the club where he's supposed to be before the cops show up. And he's saying, no, 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 I can't go on stage without that. And I said, you're going to go on stage if I have to kick your ass from here to the ballroom, so get going. So we had this wonderful little conversation, and there I am dragging this 6'4" rock musician by his collar back to the club so they can audition, and hoping that none of the cops ever saw us. So that was pretty funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a band, we took four bands to Memphis one time, lounge acts, to soft rock, to audition for the Holiday Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one band get up on stage. They had rehearsed this thing for weeks. They got up on stage. Something happened in the middle of one song, and the band leader just stops playing. He was the lead guitarist. He says, sorry. I can't just do this. And they all walked off stage. And I thought, well, isn't this exciting?
Yeah.
So
wow.
We had a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, you know, when you go on the road with bands, which I did when they had an important date or something, you just never know what they're going to do, and you're always fishing them out of someplace, or you're always having to scrape the liquor bottles out of the dressing room so that they don't get drunk the minute they're off stage.
I want that job.
But you know, there is nothing greater. I got to take a minute to tell you this story. There's nothing greater than great success. There was a club in Ann Arbor, Michigan, mm-hmm. which is a college town, called Second Chance, and it was part of a chain of three clubs. It was a concert club, and it was built on three levels, and they all looked down on the stage and the dance floor. And the club held about 2,800 people. I had a band that was from Ann Arbor, and they were a big draw in the club, and they were asked to come and play to open for an act on a concert night, and then they would use my band's equipment because they had a really good sound system. We got, to make this long story short, we got into a fight with the owner because they didn't want two lines of equipment on the stage, and my band said, no two lines of equipment or we leave. So he said, fine, take your shit and split. Excuse me, I don't know if you can say that on the radio.
Oh, go
anyway,
for it.
So we left, and obviously we weren't doing any dates in the club. And about a month later, I get a call from the club owner. He had a band in there, and it's a holiday week, and the band bombed. And his partners are screaming, and he wanted to know if I would bring my band back and what it would cost. So, of course, I charged him to the max. I called the band, talked them into it, and we went up there. And I got there about 2 hours after the bar opened, and the line was double around the block. They let me in through the back door, and the place was just jammed. The fire marshal was there so they wouldn't overcrowd. He'd had to call in every bartender to work, every waitress to work. You know, it was such a great feeling of vindication. And
right.
here are all these people down on the dance floor going crazy, and the
right.
band's going wild on the stage, and people are drinking like nuts, and they're out in the corner smoking pot. I mean, it's just, it's like a movie.
Yeah. Now, I live in Upper Ohio, and near, like, I'm like a 45 minutes to an hour from Michigan.
Uh-huh.
So I've been to, like, a lot of, like, three-level clubs that go from here to there, you know, and they're
yes.
really trippy, especially when they bring in the live music, because, one, you're walking around and it's dark enough in there that you've got to watch what you're doing footing-wise, because a lot of these have those tiered steps, like
yes.
an amphitheater built up.
Yes.
And, you know, you've got all these people running around with their, you know, their waitresses and the waiters, and they're all dressed fancy, and it's totally trippy. It's like another world. It's not like other clubs you go to or bars you go to.
No,
these are all unto
isn't.
Themselves. And, yeah, it's kind of nutty. Yeah, a lot of fun. I miss those days. Yeah.
I think I need to move. We don't have
yeah.
anything cool like that. We have a hockey rink that sometimes gets used as like a theater.
Listen, I've done rock concerts in hockey rinks, too.
Yeah, that's what we have is one of those, or they use, I guess, as a honky rink, and then you can set up stages. It's a big, like, coliseum.
Right, right.
But yeah, we don't have any cool three-tiered bars or anything like that. Now, when you're on the road, the musicians, were there any, like, strange superstitions that they had or rituals that they did, aside from buying 5 pounds of pot?
Yeah, buying 5 pounds of pot was a pretty regular ritual. yeah, I had one band where they wouldn't do a gig, they wouldn't do a one-night concert unless they had potato chips with onion dip and chocolate M&Ms, all brown M&Ms in the dressing room. I had another band when they were doing more than one night. On the first night, the lead singer had this really awful, god-awful, sparkly shirt with a scoop neck that looked dreadful on him, but he thought it was superstitious that it brought him good luck, and I could never get him not to wear it. And everybody used to say to him, Al, take the shirt off. But nope, he was out there on stage.
Elton John is already famous. Leave it alone, man.
Exactly. I had musicians who would take one drink before they went on stage and never drink again all night. I had others who would have an open bottle waiting for them in the dressing room. I mean, it really just depended. Everybody was a little bit different. The only thing that they all had in common is they were all nuts.
See, I so need that job. I would fit right in. Oh.
Now, I've read on your bio that you've had at least 4 careers.
Mm-hmm.
What are your other ones besides being an author and, you know, management?
Well, I worked for a weekly newspaper. I worked in public television. I sold insurance, boring. I had my own public relations agency, and I did special events. I once did a shopping center opening for 5 days, and we opened up with a big spectacular, and I sent one of my singers up in a hot air balloon, a tethered hot air balloon, singing Up, Up, and Away, and we stopped traffic for 3 miles in every direction. And I did a thing for one that had an animal theme, wanted an animal theme. We had three elephants, and we gave elephant rides. One time I had a club owner coming in from out of town who wanted to audition four of my bands, and we didn't have any place to audition them. And I had a pretty big house, so we used our basement to audition the bands in. And as they were waiting their turn, they would be sitting in their stage outfits on my front porch. My neighbors got a real kick out of that, I'm sure. But I have to say my kids took it all in stride. They
I was going to say, now, how do your kids handle everything? Because you said that, you know, you were a mom during all this.
Yes. They really handled it very well, as a matter of fact. My boys used to love to go to Second Chance with me because the sound and light men would take them up into the booth, which is on the third level, and let them sit up there and watch the whole time from up there. When they got old enough, sometimes they worked as roadies for the bands, and they got a big kick out of that. And it was nice to be able, when they were of drinking age, to walk into any club where my bands were playing and be able to get in. So they thought that was neat. They just didn't have too many friends whose mothers ran around in jeans and clogs and T-shirts that said rock and roll is better than music.
I think you just described my mother. I think you did.
I love your mother.
She is something else. I remember standing there, and I'm odd now, but at the time I was quite the, you know, normal compared to. I remember standing, and I was like 6 or 7, and we were in the middle of the mall. And I looked up at her, and she totally had the Flock of Seagull thing going. Like the big eyeshadow, the blue eyeshadow back to each side, and her hair all poofed out. And she's in the middle of the mall, and they've got music playing, like, in the center. So my mom starts rocking out, doing a one-man dance spree, like dancing in the dark with Springsteen down the center of the mall. And I'm like, Mom, please, oh, God. You know, and I'm actually sitting there thinking, I hope someone abducts me. Is that sad for a second? You know, I gotta love her. I mean, she's always been.
Embarrass their kids.
Yeah, but I mean, this wasn't even an attempt at that. That's just my mom.
I would love your mom.
Yeah. So.
I've met her mom. She's great.
Yeah, she's. It's just so funny now because she's Nana to the boys, and she's so reserved and nice, and she's like Martha Stewart. All you know, everything's perfect.
Oh yeah.
And I'll be like, guys, your grandma used to race cars, guys.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
We had an ambulance at our house. We had.
We did. I don't know. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here or not, but when I was younger, we had. My mom was single, of course, and I have a brother and I. And to help make ends meet in that, she had a little bit bigger home in this downtown area. And one of her brother's friends ran his own ambulance service. And at the time, I think it was outsourced. Like the hospitals didn't quite, you know. It was something they called, and then ambulances came.
Right.
He owned his own thing, but he didn't have anywhere to be working out of anymore. Something happened, and so my mom said, well, you can use half of my house. Well, this isn't a duplex. This is a whole house. So, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, I get up to go to the bathroom, which is off the kitchen. I walk out, and there's all these paramedics sitting around the table all ready to dress, and they're having coffee in the middle of the night. They're like, hey. I'm like, wow. Okay, and I'm at that awkward stage of going through puberty, too, so I'm embarrassed about everything. And
that
I'm like,
so
I have to
hysterical.
Pee 5 feet, and these guys are going to be able to hear me through the door.
Oh, God. Yes, that would be the first thing I would think of.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you'd probably, like, leave the door open now.
Yeah, I know. Me, I would just be, like, gabbing to them with the door open, going, hey, guys, what'd you do today? Tell me about a cool call. But these were the best group of men and women, though. They were so nice in... Just, it was so much fun. I'm glad that she did that. I'm glad my mom was bizarre because it really exposed me to a lot. So, and I'm not exactly normal now, my children point out, but I don't see it because I think I am pretty
well,
normal.
And I think I am too. I mean, my kids say I've toned down a lot, but I don't think anybody would ever, by any stretch of the imagination, consider me normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of all your careers, which one has been your favorite? I mean, or can you even pick one?
Oh, God. I would have to say it's a big toss-up between managing the rock bands and writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get to put so much in writing, and I get mm-hmm. to really fantasize, which is a big thing with me, you know, to let my imagination run wild. But
right.
I take all the people I've met over the years and kind of mix them up and make up stories about them, you know. So it's I would say both. I loved the 10 years that I did the rock bands. I mean, it was an experience that I could never repeat.
Mm-hmm.
I met people that were wonderful to me and really helped me along the way. And outside of praying that I never got arrested dragging my pot-smoking musicians away, you know, there wasn't ever really a downside. You just expected them to act like spoiled kids, and they did.
Right.
But I love writing because I get to make up all these really great stories, and people actually read them.
Now, we should say, we had told you that you'd come on for 20 minutes, so if we have kept you too long, we apologize, but we're having a lot of fun talking to you, so hopefully you can stick around here till the end with us. So.
Oh, sure, yeah, that's not a problem.
If anyone wants to try to call in again, we've had one more person try. I'm going to keep apologizing. I don't know what's going on with it. And 2 weeks ago, we had a bunch of people try. I didn't realize how many until we got off, and it told me 37 people attempted to call in.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah,
only
one. Only one got through. 646-595-3998 is the number. Again, 646-595-3998. You can also find us at ravenhappyhour.com. You just click through. You'll find the links, find the chat, and you can type your questions there. All right, I'm done with that part.
Or you can email us directly at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
You know, Michelle needs a medal for running behind me to clean up my messes.
She gets a medal. I'll make a medal for you,
award.
Michelle.
Yay! Can I say super
goodness.
Pretty, pretty princess?
Yes, you can say super, super pretty, pretty princess.
Yay!
It'll even be purple with pink, like, bedazzled things on it, okay?
Oh, I love pink dazzle things.
Well,
thank you
two would get along fabulously. Wow. Mine will have crossbones.
You know, I would be interested in you doing, like, a series of either, like, rock management set in the time period that you were actually doing it.
That would be fun, yeah. I'd love to read that.
Some of those stories and...
You know, everybody has told me that. And
yeah.
I think I'm actually going to have to do it.
Well, yeah.
The problem is I can't decide if I want to do it as Judith or Desiree. Desiree just has so much more fun, you know?
Right.
And it might be more appropriate for her to be the one to write it. But everybody has told me that. My kids are begging me to do it. They said,
yeah,
Mom, 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 Mom.
Sex and rock and roll, they go hand in hand.
Yes,
they really
they
do.
Yes.
I mean, you have to do Desiree with it because you just got to go balls to the wall with it.
Let me tell you, you have no idea how much sex and rock and roll go hand in hand.
Oh, yes. I was quite the fan / groupie.
Oh, yes. There's nothing, and you know, you learn not to get embarrassed about anything. I mean, truly about anything. You have to knock on the door of one of the band's rooms because there's so much noise coming from it, and somebody yanks the door open, and there's like 12 half-naked people in there, and you have to wave your hand to clear the smoke from the pot out of the room, and there's empty liquor bottles all over the place, and you just say, keep it down, guys.
Yeah, who's Jack Daniels did I just trip over? That's it. Get your butt over here. I'm right.
Exactly. You know, or if they're really getting too rowdy, you have to have established a relationship with them where when you tell them, cut it off now, they'll do it.
Yeah,
and
you
that's kind of
be a mother-like figure to them, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You're,
more
you're,
than
you're
a mother.
Everything. Yeah, you're the parental guidance, the law, the...
Absolutely. You're like the prison warden.
You're the
they
stayer
have to
of the
love
law.
Their prison warden.
Yes,
they have to go where you tell them to go and be there when you tell them to be there. And no, you cannot bring three little girls with you into backstage. And no, you can't do this. And no, you can't do that. But it was just the successes were so rewarding that it was worth everything else that we did. And I still talk to some of the guys. One of them, who was probably the biggest Hellraiser of them all, is married and has two children and his children go to private schools. He has a thriving web-based CD industry, and he still plays with the band in a local club on weekends. It's just,
oh, my God.
It's just amazing. And some of them, God knows where they are, and God probably doesn't even want to know.
Yeah. Oh, he knows now. He's just like, they're not destined for here. So.
Exactly.
Okay, guys, I will meet you in the reserved seating section down below. No fear. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, we have a question from Jacqueline Frank for you.
Okay.
Michelle, did you want to go ahead and read that for her?
Yeah, she wants to know if you have a MySpace or Facebook. And so I figured if you want to go ahead and, if you do, tell everyone how to find you and give your website addresses again.
Yes, I have a MySpace, which is having a couple of technical problems at the moment, but you can still access and read everything. And it's myspace.com/Judith Desiree.
Okay.
I have two websites, www.desireeholt.com and www.judithrochelle.com.
Okay.
And if people like really, 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 really alpha heroes, they should get into my Lotus Circle books. The first one is Always on My Mind, and the second one is Visions of Darkness, and I'm halfway through and desperately trying to finish the third one, Scent of Danger. And it's five men, all of whom were either in Special Forces, Delta Force, the SEALs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in each book, they meet the woman they marry, and the woman has a psychic gift. But these guys are so totally macho and so totally sexy, but it's like a romantic intrigue, you know, and there's a lot of action and it's fast-paced. I live in Texas, so this is not very unusual. I have a license to carry concealed, and I carry a little gun in my purse. And every 7 years you have to get your license renewed. So when I went to take my class this time, the guy teaching it had been in Delta Force for 10 years. So, of course, I roped and tied him and said, you gotta give me information. And he's a really great source for me. So if you love macho heroes racing through the jungle and dropping bombs and shooting bad guys, that's a good series.
I do. I'm actually at the page now trying to go over. You're saying it. I'm nodding over here like people can even see me like, mm-hmm, love it, mm-hmm, yeah. And also, I want to ask before we have to go, I want you to tell us a little bit about Teaching Molly.
Okay.
This one sounds really exciting to me.
Molly Gerard has just been divorced. She's been dumped by her husband for a trophy wife. But Molly is a sharp lady. She's got a lot to give. She's got a lot to offer. But she's questioning herself because her husband really did a number on her self-esteem. She goes to this 4th of July party, and she's like, as she tells Nick when she meets him, she's the pity guest. She and her husband were both friends of this couple, and they decided to invite her instead of him because they thought she wouldn't have anything to do and they felt sorry for her. Nick is 15 years younger than she is, and he meets her, and he is taken with her right away. He invites her back to his home, and Nick is a dominant, looking for a permanent submissive relationship. And as he opens Molly to her sexuality, he's teaching her about DS relationships, and he takes her to a DS club where the woman who owns it is married to a man who's 15 years younger than she is. So it's all about how he teaches her the whole thing about the DS world and about the relationship and what it means and how Molly becomes gets into her own sexuality and has a really wonderful relationship with him, and you can just see the whole thing unfolding. And what I really wanted to say is that age is not whatever matters. It's the two people. And there's a line in there that I have in the first excerpt that I really, really love where she's very nervous and she says to him, I haven't really done this for a long time. And he said, good, then I don't have to worry about measuring up to anybody else. I only have to worry about you. And I just thought, you know, what a great thing for him to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I am all for women being able to have relationships regardless of the age of the man as long as the connection is there. And they shouldn't be afraid to express their sexuality.
Right. Oh, I totally agree.
And that's Teaching Molly by Desiree Holt at
Teaching
Allura's
Molly
Cave.
By Desiree Holt at Allura's Cave.
Yes, I've been asking every year for my birthday and Christmas for a harem of men in their early 20s in loincloths. I have yet to receive this, but it is on my list.
Oh, no,
you
I've
really
been asking for the same thing.
Yeah.
I've been asking for the same thing. I'm still waiting.
Yeah. Really? Because I'm asking for a housekeeper.
Yeah.
Ah.
Little dreams.
My needs are really simple.
Yeah, I figure, you know, it will motivate me to move around my house if I know they're going to follow and, you know, be moving around too. I'm like, oh, look at that ripple and look at that chisel. Woo!
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, my husband has started to kind of, like, give a little, so I'm thinking maybe he's just tired of me asking. I don't know if the nagging's breaking him down, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
And if you're out there, harem of men, and you do yard work, please email me because I'm sure he'll say yes then.
I can't wait to see your inbox this next week.
You know it was.
Yes.
Anytime we make an offhand comment like that, somebody takes us up on the offer, and we love it.
Yep, they do. Oh, my God. You got to love people who take everything we say in stride and respond.
Oh, yes.
Oh, great. But, okay. No, thank you very much for joining us. And,
oh, it's my pleasure. I always have a great time here.
Yeah, we love having you on. You're always so fun to talk to.
Thank you.
And, again, your newest book is?
Teaching Molly and Beg Me, which is coming out. Teaching Molly is with Allura's Cave. Beg Me will be coming out with Total Ebound. And Foreplay, which is part of the Brit Party anthology, mm-hmm. which is out with Total Ebound the middle of this month. And at the end of this month, Destination Pleasure, although I think the print copy is already available at Amazon.
Okay.
Erotic Adventures in Exotic Places.
Excellent. We wanted to thank everybody for, you know, joining us and listening to Judith today and everything. And sorry again for the people who have tried to call in and haven't been able to do it. And I just want to, you know, be the first one to share with you what Michelle and I learned when we went and looked at stats recently. Now, mind you, our stats reset, which means they went back to zero because there was a catastrophic failure at the other place we host at.
Oh, my God.
And at the time, we were a little over 20,000 feeds marked down, but they had a catastrophic failure, lost all information. We had to re-upload it up. And we still use them to host through. So a lot of people get through iTunes. They get the feeds there.
Right.
We are now back up over 20,000 feeds, which means if you add those together, you know, Raven Podcast has been, you know, fed out over 40,000 times.
Oh, my God.
So we are very excited about that. And we could not wait to share it with everyone. And we also want to say to these people listening, are you seriously on drugs? We're crazy. And if you are, share the good shit, man.
That's better to do.
And if you aren't, maybe you should be.
Exactly, exactly. Well, somebody actually emailed and had, you know, said, you know, we need to definitely always, like, laugh more, do more things than that. So that's why we try to incorporate that in. Then I ran into a friend of mine who had listened to it, and she's like, I know you and talking to you every day in life. And she's like, it's really just you on there shooting the shit with people. You know, you and Michelle going back and forth. She's like, and I ate it up.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Well, this is us. I mean, we don't, we can't.
Yeah, there's
like
no pretense.
We can't keep track of more than one name. Yeah. We're not keeping track of more than one personality.
Yeah. We're not good like that. Although we should do the business card thing. That would help us.
Oh, let me tell you, without
the
business
wrong
card
name?
Thing.
What's that, Jim?
Without the business card thing, forget it.
Do you ever, like, sign the wrong name when you're doing signings or?
Yes, I've done it twice. Oops.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I've spelled my name wrong, and it's my real name.
You spelled your real name wrong?
Yes,
that
it's my real
too
name.
Funny.
For some reason, I always try to, like, invert the center two in Mandy for some reason when I'm writing fast. I don't know. Apparently, I like it better that way.
Well.
I should have been, like, mad knee. I don't know.
Well, and maybe that could be your next personality.
Yes. This one who could possibly spell right every time because it seems to happen whenever I write. But no, thank
you
again for joining.
Your next personality is a computer spell check.
The sad thing is when I'm typing manuscripts, sometimes I'll type the word many, and I will type Mandy on accident, and my computer already acknowledges that is the right thing, so it just leaves Mandy there.
Oh, that is
so
fun.
Yeah, my proofers will be like, did you mean many? Because, you know, unless you really love yourself, you want to repeat it a few times. I'm like, well, either one works. Yeah.
So. Either way.
Yeah, do love me. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks again, Judith. We're going to go ahead and let you go now.
My
thanks
pleasure.
For
thanks
sticking
for
around.
Having me.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
And again, you can see Judith at judithrochelle.com or DesireeHolt.com.
Yes.
So go check out her, you know, books at ECE Bound, Wild Rose Press, Lotus Circle. She's everywhere.
She is.
So that was great. It was great having her on. So thank you again to Judith out there in Radio Land.
Yeah, and to Judith's kids. I mean, you guys rock for, you know, totally embracing your mom being different. That's great.
We do have a few announcements. We've got cover ads on sale now at the Raven. So if you want to be, if you would like to be a Raven sponsor, spots are on sale now. Just email us at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com and we'll get you the information. Since we get asked about it a lot, we figured we'd just tell everybody on air.
Mm-hmm.
But there are spots available, and it is open to, generally we have authors or publishers who contact us for them. But if you're some, you know, well, you don't have to be. But all publishers, all genres are welcome. We don't discriminate. Same with calling into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some new contests up on the blog for the author features. So just go to ravenhappyhour.com/ravenblog. Hit the contest category, and you'll see a bunch of those. You can read the author features that we have going this month and last month and enter some of the contests. Some of those will be wrapping up soon, and to enter, all you have to do is post a response to the blog post, and you're automatically entered.
Right, and we're going to go ahead and give away one PDF download. You can either pick from Michelle or I to a winner, and to be entered, all you have to do is email this week and let us know who would you rather be stuck with if you had to co-host The Raven. Michelle?
Who was more scary?
Yeah, well, I like the better part.
We'll do our auditions now. This is Michelle being scary. Rawr.
Yes, this is me being scary. There you go. I am what I am.
Ooh, that was a good one.
I know.
I've been practicing my growl. Meow. It didn't come out right. Let me try again, please.
Oh, we need to also tell them that next week we have Jenna Showalter on.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming to talk about her Lords of the Underworld series with us.
New York Times bestselling author Jean, or Mandy says Jenna, I say Gina. We will find out for sure next week.
You know what? We can call her all, and we'll think of new ways to say it too, like Jenna. We can come up with everything.
Jenna Showalter. Yeah.
All right, yeah, we're excited about that.
So that's Wednesday, May 14th at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, so be sure to join us. Have your questions ready.
Mm-hmm.
You can also email us questions for her, and we'll ask her on air if you can't make it to the live show. It's ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com, and we'll be happy to pass your questions and comments along to her. And I also wanted to let everyone know that the prize winners from last week's big Listen and Enter contest for Raven Radio, all your prizes have been mailed this week, so you should be getting them shortly.
Right, right. And for this week's contest, you need to enter before next week's show.
And the winner will be announced on next week's show and on the Raven blog.
Right.
And you can email your entry to ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com and tell us which one you think was scarier or which one you'd rather be stuck with co-hosting.
Yeah, and you got to tell us why. And don't worry, we are really, really, really good sports. We're not going to take offense. We're going to laugh our butts.
Yeah. And if you can't choose, just email and say, I can't choose.
Oh, then
we'll
just
know that you really mean that you love Michelle.
Yeah, no, we'll know that you mean you love me. None of our clips are working. I'm trying to play the exit clip, and it is missing.
Well,
wow, Blog Talk, thanks for eating our clips. Okay.
Sure they did.
Ooh,
I'm
sing it for us, Michelle.
The toilet over me.
Sing it for us on the way out, Michelle.
Right,
and then there was the dramatic pause.
Raven Radio with your host, Michelle Pillow, and Sandy Ross, and we talk about everything and nothing in kitchen sinks.
Yes, we so need our intro bitch here to help us out, don't we? He is a great sport, too.
I did it. I sing it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wasn't
I missed
that the word?
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Have a great week. Thanks for joining us. Bye.